And we're live. Welcome to the RGDFS Tournament Takes podcast. I am your host, Chris Kirkwood. Kirk D's here, per usual, with my two boys, Brett Hartfield, KillerBee2482, and Toe Tag and Tambo, Tyler Tamboline. We're back again for week three after what was a successful week two for me. How we doing, boys? Brett, how you doing?
You know, I feel like this was kind of like the inverse week for me. Almost everything that I did was wrong. Even got certain guys in my core that ended up just being terrible. So the one good thing that I got onto was Aaron Jones late in the week. Really sought after just getting off of Devontae and going with him. But even in those lineups, man, I just had so many duds. The tight end spot is one spot that you couldn't miss on if you were in tournaments. And, man, like, I paid up at tight end, missed there. And then even when I went down at tight end, I wasn't on the main guys. So, yeah, it was a pretty rough week.
I know what you did. You played the biggest fish play in the world, like all of us did, with freaking Chris Herndon.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I had a ton of Herndon, no doubt. And then, like, the Jordan Reed talk got me off of Jordan Reed. I mean, he ends up playing, like, what, 27 snaps, and we heard the 15 to 20 snaps. It's the thing, like, early in the week, early in the season, no preseason, you almost have to listen to what coaches say. And when you hear 15 to 20 snaps, it's tough to go with them. And then Mo Alie-Cox, like, everybody thought he was a free space too, and I'm just like, This guy's never been targeted more than four times. Like, I'm not going to him. I don't know. I never really considered him hardcore on DraftKings. Had pieces of him in tournaments on FanDuel, but yeah. I don't know. It was a rough week.
I had Jordan Reed everywhere going into the weekend. I kept him in GPP, and I took him out last minute on Yahoo, which I still won, but I would have absolutely smashed if I didn't. And took him out of cash on DK. And I'm really mad at myself because all we want are the high value touches, right? Like, and this guy was going to win. We don't care if he's not on the field to block. And that's exactly what the coach is saying, is like, he's not going to be on the field to block. He still was going to get the routes. He was still talked up in preseason. I spent all Saturday night, like, Googling, like, all these, like, beat writer reports and stuff, like, on how good he's looked and the chemistry he has. So I was like all ready to go. And then I fell to the group think, and I was really upset about that. But Tambo Bud, how'd you do?
Yeah, it wasn't the best week for me in football. Golf was pretty good, but we're here to talk football. And I think, you know, we missed the elf in the room. Was last week was laden with injuries, right? We had all kinds of injuries last week. You know, even if you had the right tight end, as Brett talked about, there was lots of guys you could fit in, get the right scores out of it, and then there was some duds, but there was also some big injuries across the board. But let me tell you this, the one good thing is last week is in the books. So now it's time to review the tape and prepare for this week. There's no better place to get in on all the action better than DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching a game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. DraftKings has paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012, so they know a thing or two about cold hard cash. Download the DraftKings app now and use code DFF. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the week three action. Enter the code DFF to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code DFF only at DraftKings. Make it rain.
Ooh, thank you. Always love doing those promos for the sponsors. Here we are. We are now back. Week three, we've got 13 games. We've got, and you did hit on the right elephant in the room about the injuries last week. Man, there's a lot of injuries. Mm-hmm. A lot of, like, key running backs went down. It was just like Yahtzee. It was just like everywhere, bing, bang, boom. Like, people were just flying
Devontae
down.
Adams.
So weird not to see 10K or 9K guys on the slate today.
Yeah, but so we've got we'll hit on some of those spots that opened up some value, but we've got some monster totals again, right? We've got 56.5 point total with Dallas heading over to Seattle. Russ is cooking. Everyone says it. Let Russ cook. It's happening. He's been cooking. Will he continue to cook? I don't know. I think so. But yeah, he's the MVP candidate right now, a front runner. And Dallas's defense is in shambles, man. They're losing people left and right. Not only are they missing Byron Jones, who they got rid of, but a lot of their key guys have gone down. You know, we knew that with Sean Lee, with I don't even remember his name. But yeah. And then now they've got some secondary issues as well. Some more that went down. So this game, you know, has shootout written all over it if that Dallas offense can keep them in this game. Then we also have the Arizona Cardinals, who looked tremendous and are playing at the fast pace and continue to press the pace the entire game. Even when on their last drive, when the game was fully in hand, they were still kept their foot on the pedal and passing. I would have liked to see Kyler get his 300-yard bonus. He just missed it. I was kind of hoping they'd let him do that, but it's a 55-point total at home against Detroit, who's been playing faster as well. But I think Arizona is going to be pushing the pace in this one, and they're just going to have to try and keep up. And they get Golladay back this week, so they're going to at least have some a better offense, and their defense is not looking too hot. So we can expect some points there. We also have – who else have we got going down? We've got Titans, Vikings, and the Vikings defense has not looked great at all with a 49.5-point total. We've got – the Falcons are always always going to make for an interesting game because of their defense and the way that they like to pass the ball. They're playing the Bears, but I think that there's some sneaky potential there from the Bears side. If we can put any kind of faith in Trubisky, and we can't put faith, but we can gamble. All right, Take a shot. We've got the Eagles. Carson Wentz looked terrible, but now he gets a good matchup against the Bengals. Who've definitely looked decent on offense, but their defense is nothing to really be scared about. There's a 47.5-point total there. What's sneaky to me? The Rams Bills game. I said this last week too with the Rams Eagles. I think this game's sneaky. You guys know I love Josh Allen. We all know I love Josh Allen. I still love Josh Allen. But the Bills' defense is missing Edwards and Milano, and that makes them a completely different defense. So, yes, they're still talented and still have some really talented guys, but I think that opens up the potential for some extra points. And we saw them putting up points last week. That game against the – was it the Dolphins they played, right, last week? Guys? Yeah. Yeah, there were some points there. And then I'm also forgetting my boy Cam and my New England Patriots at home against the Raiders. But, man, so that's kind of a big picture over here. We got a ton of spots to address. But how's the slate looking to you, Brett?
Yeah, man. I mean, there's some high totals, right? I mean, you just went through – and I feel like a lot of these offenses are becoming very focalized. We'll talk about injuries – that makes some of these offenses even more focused. I just feel like with no fans, being on the road, having communication with the quarterback to the offense coordinator is going to be huge, right? And points are going to really start going up by week three, week four, week five. I expect offenses to really dominate here. Now that we have kind of almost – a fluid semblance with certain offenses. So it's a very interesting spot where you have Seattle having two wide receivers with like something like 60% of the target share. Actually, I think it's even more than that. It was like 70% of the target share. And then you have Cardinals, no Christian Kirk. It's going to be an interesting spot with two of the highest team totals both over 30, you know, one dealing with injuries, the other one just being very focused with their offense. Just seems like a very smash spot. I'm going to be looking for sure at just ownership, but I mean, double stacks, triple stacks in these games, it's not going to really get you off the chalk, because I think that's going to be a very normal thing here. So, but yeah, outside of that, don't really have much outside of like, I thought it was very interesting to see the Tennessee at Minnesota game open up at 45.5 all the way up to 49.5. There's a guy in there that I like that I'll touch on in Delvin Cook that I think, you know, they haven't run a lot of plays, and I feel like Tennessee is very susceptible to the run. So a guy at a lower ownership that I think could be kind of sneaky.
And we got a lot of chalk this week, and mm-hmm. Arizona is certainly going to be extremely chalky. So like, we all saw what the running back situation was. Derrick Henry was a big fat bust for everybody last week. Other guys came through, but Tambo, how are you approaching this one, at least from the start?
Yeah, I kind of like this week. It just reminds me a little bit of last week with, you know, a few different things. But what I mean by that is, you know, you just talked about it. Last week, Dallas-Atlanta was the big game, right? This week, it's Dallas-Seattle. I mean, they're typically involved with what they've got and the guys they have and the way the pace goes and whatnot. But you saw your boy Josh Allen. He was on a lot of, you know, good lineups last week, and it wasn't even necessary, even though that game had, I think it was like, what, 40 and 39 or something. Like, it was a huge scoring game last week. And you could still find ways around it. To Brett's point there, you know, if everyone's going to just game stack it, you've got a bunch of other games. You listed like five of them off the top. There's certainly an avenue to go down where you can leverage that and go down that path. And then on the other side of it is just ways to leverage within the game. What if, you know, they don't let Russ cook this week? Because it's only been, I mean, we're going off 2 week sample sizes. It's not that they shouldn't, but we've seen crazier stuff. Pete Carroll, you know, there's an opportunity here. A guy like Carson not only can, you know, run and we can see that game, but he's been catching a lot of passes. So you can use him with a guy like Russell Wilson versus using Russ with, you know, Lockett and Metcalf, the most common build. So I think we'll talk about some of that as we get through some of the plays, but I do like that there's a lot of other games on the horizon that look pretty good as far as overall points and just team totals in general. So I think there's a lot of ways to get there this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of good spots, and I think some sneaky spots too as well. Let's start off at the running back position, and we'll start identifying, because we do have a very chalky running back play right off the bat. Miles Sanders is coming in at it's going to be extremely higher owned, you know, over 30% probably. Me personally, I'm fine with eating running back chalk. I ate massive amounts of running back chalk last week. I kind of wish I took Brett's route with some more.
I went Ronald Jones everywhere, and that didn't work out. So I thought that was the play, and it could have been the play, but one fumble and he's on the bench. So
after an early touchdown too, that's what pissed me off. We had it, and then you didn't have it. It's gone.
Yeah.
I wish I had more Aaron Jones. I had some, but I wish I had more. But my main lineup did well. I approached things with like Kyler was my guy last week. I was all in on him. So I ended up just eating the running back chalk pretty much. Taylor and Zeke.
And that was fun.
Did fine. But like, man, I wish I got off some Henry. You know, got off more of Henry. But Miles Sanders is the chalk this week. And to me, he's great chalk. Like, he's priced way too low. Like, this is a guy that with his workload, with what we were expecting him coming into the season, that would be, you know, definitely over 7K, probably be over an 8K, you know, close to Zeke in price based on the usage, you know, that we saw last week. I mean, it's pretty clear that he's the guy. He had 20 rushing attempts, 95 rushing yards last week, 36 yards passing in the passing game. And now is against the Bengals, 25th DVOA ranked rushing defense. They've allowed 358 yards, 4 rushing touchdowns in games just against the Browns and Chargers already. And it's also a pretty big deal that Lane Johnson is back and healthy for this Eagles line that desperately needs help. So I like him. I'm going to be using him everywhere, but what are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he's the number one running back. He's, you know, right in the mix, getting targets. It just, you know, this is not a sexy offense because of how many times they are running just a 12 formation, you know, two tight end sets.
Yeah,
they can't, it doesn't look like Deshaun's got the speed, or they're not throwing it deep to Deshaun. So, I mean, this offense in general just looks, but the best part about it is Miles Sanders. I mean, him coming back in week two, them just giving him all the opportunity. And it's mainly the opponent that got, that has me excited here. I'm not too worried about Cincinnati stuffing Philly's O-line, D-line. You talked about their offense line getting a little bit healthier here. I think this is good chalk in Miles Sanders. Tambo, what do you think?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, we're all going to say the same thing. And no one's going to be – I don't think anyone's going to be able to victory lap this unless he gets injured, unfortunately. I mean, the price is stupid, $6,400. You can use him in any style. At the end of the day, he really never goes off the field. You can look right back to last year. He plays so many of the snaps. Doesn't matter the game script. He's always involved. He catches – last week was like 20 attempts, seven targets. Like, there's just so much that you can do with him at $6,400. I think the biggest thing – is you got to think about that and how you're going to use them. Of course, you can just eat the running back chalk and then your stacks will be different. I'm not saying that you have to go this route, but for me, a couple things. One, I'll use them paired with Philly D. I don't think a lot of people will do that. And I think it's a rookie quarterback. I know it's Joe Burrow on the other side. Pause for a second. We'll get there, but I'll say use Sanders with Philly D. And that's another way to get unique when everyone's already using Sanders. Why not use them? We know that's a correlation, but everyone just gets so set on Sanders, builds out their stack, does their secondary correlation, and then just plugs in whatever D. Why not use the D? If he has a really big game, ceilings out, that could be the reason why. What if they get a pick, drop it on the 10, and then, you know, he's running in a touchdown right quick, and it just piles up from there. So there's that. And then I said pause for a minute on Joe Burrow. I don't think anyone's going to use him this week. I'm going to go right back to him. I think this game's kind of sneaky, and I think another good way would be to use Sanders across as the running back from Joe Burrow and then, like, Tyler Boyd, Drew Sample, who we'll get to later. You know, who else? AJ Green. Go back to the well with AJ Green. So I'm just saying that that's a risky way to do it, but in large field tournaments, I like that. What if he shows out and gets his first win, or, you know, tries to get there and still doesn't quite get there, but they have a huge high-scoring game because of Sanders and Burrow and his boys on the other side. So I like that way of using him in large field GPPs.
Yep. And then we've got another chalky running back around the same price. Kenyon Drake is now getting a lot of momentum, a lot of steam. Everybody's talking about him. And why do they like him so much? Well, you know, he hasn't really, you know, crushed so far, but, you know, that's because Kyler's taken the rushing touchdowns. But, you know, the usage is definitely there. And the matchup, right? Like, that's what it's all about. The matchup is elite. Basically, the Lions most rushing yards allowed, also destroyed by running backs through the air so far. 24 receptions, 205 yards, two TDs to running backs, and that's you know, against Green Bay and Chicago. And you know, this, he's just another weapon. So, like, and he's someone that works well in the passing game, and so does Chase Edmonds. So I do kind of so. Drake's averaged 20 touches per game and playing over 68% of the snaps. But and everyone was worried about Edmonds, and Edmonds looked to have a real role in week one, not so much in week two. But they were, you know, front-running all game in a what was sort of a blowout. So I think we might see more Edmonds this week, which might be a pause for concern because the matchup is certainly works in his favor. At least, you know, through the passing game in the air. So I think there could be more of a split than normal in this one. And that's just like more giving me a reason to kind of fade him personally, because I'm going to be so high. I'm going to be so like high on the chalk Kyler and Hopkins again, that I don't want to have, I'm looking for any excuse not to play Drake. But how are you guys approaching it?
Yeah. I mean, I just look at the whole situation here. I mean, we have no Christian Kirk, who's been running routes mainly on the outside. Fitzy's been still in the slot. Who is going to be running routes on the outside is kind of my big question that I'm going to have to do a little bit more research.
Well, I think Isabella is going to step into the.
Yep, but Isabella's really stepped in for Fitzy, giving rest for Fitzy in the slot. So can he play on the outside? Who are they going to push to the outside? Because, I mean, their normal set is obviously three wide receiver sets. So when you bring up Chase Edmonds, I kind of almost have to agree. If you're going to use your best athletes, you're going to try to get them involved more. So Chase Edmonds to me is definitely an under the radar type play, but Kenyon Drake, I think a lot of the offensive focus has to be around him. And again, at 6K, it's kind of weird to say this, but I think he's just great chalk. I'm going to have plenty of him in every scenario. This is the second highest team implied on the slate at 30.25. So, I mean, outside of DeAndre Hopkins, how is this team going to move down the field? I agree Andy Isabella is like a huge play guy. We know Fitzy is more down just short A dot, and then Hopkins is the guy. But
it's going to be Kyler's legs again.
Yeah. I mean, he's been running a ton, but, you know, this is a Detroit defensive line that can't get after pressure. And the first two games were D lines that could pressure him. So if he is running, it's by choice and not because of, hey, I got 2 seconds in the pocket and I need to get out of here.
It's the man coverage that that really works in his favor. Potentially, again, you know, with the defender, everyone talks about this, but like the defenders with their back to him, and then he'll take off that way. But I agree, it sets up, you know, it sets up really nicely for him to have a good game throwing it, airing the ball out, as opposed to rushing, just because of Detroit's secondary and the fact that they can't rush. You know, so he's going to have time back there. And Christian Kirk hurts that because he was kind of their deep play guy. You know, that would, you know, get out there, but, they certainly have other weapons to do that. But I know, Tambo had some interesting thoughts on how to approach game stacks with, Drake. So what are you doing, Tambo?
Yeah, I think I'm starting to lean like you, Kirkwood. I'm saying, you know, I thought it was going to be at start of the week. If everyone's going to play Kyler and Hopkins, it makes it a little bit easier. But now it's been talked up enough that, one, he's magically has to have this bounce back week because he's had two bad weeks, that he can't possibly have a third. The ownership's coming with it now. So I think if I do use Drake, you know, I'm sort of leaning your way, but I'll probably use him in Stafford stacks, which we'll get to. I'm really hoping. I think Kenny Galladay is still listed as questionable, but it looks like we should get him back, hopefully. So I'll go that route. We always like Hockenson. We always like tight ends against Arizona. Therefore, I like Hockenson. So I think that's an interesting way to do it, to get away from maybe the Kyler side with Hopkins. Leverage it a little bit, kind of like you did with Jones versus Devontae Adams last week, was a good leverage play. You could do that, but then run it back with another sack. Same game, same environment. We know Stafford likes to chuck it. We know he can get the 300-yard bonus, touchdowns, whatever. But I'm kind of with you. If I'm going to use Kyler, and this seems normal, but the ownership's telling a different story, I'm going to probably leave Drake out, because I think, you know, one of the interesting things that I was just looking at was, you know, rush attempts. And Josh Allen is a guy that you're always saying about, you know, and I know you love him, and I like what he's been doing too. He's kind of just doing it from all angles. You know, he's got 4 attempts rushing, and the week before that, 14. And people don't really want to play Buffalo running backs because of that. You got a guy like Kyler right now, who we talked about it last week, but it was obvious. I know he was the chalk, but he literally was Lamar for like 2,000 less. And what does he do? Run his last 2 weeks, 67 rush yards and 91 rush yards, 8 and 13 attempts. How does that not affect a guy like Drake at the goal line? It absolutely does. And like you say, Brett, he's going to want to run it in those cases, sure. But I think he does. I think he does want to keep proving himself, make a statement. So I'm probably going to leave Drake out of my Kyler Murray lineups. And if I am using Drake, which I will use some, we'll wait and see what the ownership looks like as we get further along in the week here. This is now Friday. We're recording this. That I'll probably use him, but on the opposite side of Stafford, because anyone who goes Stafford side is likely just going to plug in Hopkins. And again, that's just another route you could go, but I'm going to go with the Drake side on the Stafford lineups.
I like that.
The only thing I would caution there is, I mean, they face a San Fran D line and a Washington D line. And I think a lot of these runs out of Kyler Murray have been more or less out of necessity. Whether it's been planned or whether it's been, hey, I'm going to throw it. Now I need to get out of the pocket and run. I feel like they can throw the ball versus Detroit front.
So
no, it's really interesting.
But it's not going to hurt you. I'm saying you got him and Hopkins in the same lineup. I'm saying the key is to leave Drake out, in my opinion, is because you're right. And if he does decide to throw it a bunch, guess what? You pick up the Hopkins points, you pick up his points like we want. But I'm saying then if he does snake one of the Drake touchdowns at the line, it's like you just doubled down on not only fading Drake in those lineups, but collecting more Kyler points.
All right. So here's how I say it. So I think you guys are all right. He's definitely, first off, he's on pace to have more rushing yards than Lamar Jackson did last season. I know it's only 2 weeks, but it's definitely a huge,
baby.
He's on that pace. He's also leading in rushing QB rushing yards. Some of it's in the scrambling, and I was expecting that last week against Washington's front seven. I think we talked about that on the show, that would lead to him rushing. But a lot of it's also by design. Like, it's obvious they're using this dude to run, right? And, like, this is against a defense that plays man, so the run is going to be there. The designed runs for Kyler are going to be there. The interesting thing is, like, that this total is so high and this pace of this game is so fast, potentially, right? Like, if it is a shootout, they can all get there, right? Like, especially with Kirk gone now, like he's only 6K. Like, everybody can get there. Like, if it's just – it could be Kyler, Kenyon, and Hopkins all get there. But, you know, really what you're looking for is that the touchdown variance, the regression to come and hit for Kenyon Drake, right? For him to get these red zone rushes and to get in the end zone. And that could certainly happen. So I'm going to be playing it. Like, just because he's so chalky, I'm going to do what Tambo does. And I think I like that idea of having it in the game where he's having a huge game, then running it back with the other side with Stafford. And then I'm just going to like hope that they don't all get there. Or it's not like through the, you know, the past Kyler to Drake, or Drake doesn't get all these touchdowns. Maybe Edmonds vultures this time, you know, through the passing game, because it's there. And that's just the way I'm going to play it and just hope for the best. But like, I get it. Now other guys, Jonathan Taylor. I mean, I planted my flag last week because he's my best ball guy and season long guy. Anyway, this dude is awesome, right? Like, and he's like, we talked about it last week. He's got the best offensive line, and now they're playing the Jets, who, yes, we've talked about on the show, are decent against the run, but they've also,
I'm on your side.
No.
They've given up. They've
wait,
given
hold up. On. Let me finish. All right. They have the talent to be decent against the run and be a pass funnel, because they have the absolutely worst secondary. However, they're allowing the most yards per rush in the league. And you saw Mostert, you know, go off for a big one, but sure. Basically the Jets are just dead, right? Like, who, think about morale on that team. Like, who has any, who, it's embarrassing to be a New York Jet right now, right? Like, what are they playing for? Like, and they have absolutely no offense, and now they have to face this incredibly talented running back who's just explosive as all hell, who's going to be running behind this top offensive line, right? Like, so, and it's going to be easy. It should be easy for them. So for the Colts in this game. So I like him again. I'm good with using him. The price tag has come up a little bit, but whatever. Then we also have guys like Zeke, and then we can touch on Devin Singletary as well. So sorry to cut you off, Brett, but what did you want to say about Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of love for Jonathan Taylor. I mean, he came from UW, University of Wisconsin, my alma mater. So, that's, you know, I mean, you got to stay tight with your Wisconsin boys. So, this seems like a spot, like, I totally agree with you that the Jets are down and out. And now you look at them offensively speaking, how are they going to move the ball? Like, literally, they are just injured across the board. I don't even know who's healthy. Braxton Berrios is, like, super highly questionable. You have Darnold. Huge mismatch, offensive line versus defensive line here on both sides of the ball. Colts are the near the top in both offensive line and defensive line metrics, and the Jets are near the bottom in both metrics. So, I mean, they're going to control the line. There's going to be opportunities for Taylor to go 4 to 5 yards, probably without even being touched here. So he's not going to have to miss tackles like he was in Minnesota. I mean, that was a workman's day versus Minnesota. He grinded out that 100 yards. You know, this Jets game, like, he's going to be at 100 after like 10 to 12 touches. So, I mean, there's shots of him just going to the moon, and I don't think they really need to even worry about passing the ball that much in this spot, just because the Jets are so downtrodden and such at a disadvantage on the line play. It's weird. I don't see myself getting away from chalk when it comes to running back this week. Tambo, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to catch the Jonathan Taylor Express to the moon with you, because you know what's going to go to the moon soon is his price, $7,000, another silly price. This guy's going to be $8,500 before the season gets up. It's just that it's dominant right now. And like you said, that line is a big factor. I don't care. I mean, this just gets even extrapolated more because we're going up against the Jets now. As you just mentioned, one thing I remember from last season that I always stuck to was true was if I was playing the indie running back, and at the time, Marlon Mack, you know, rest in peace, Marlon Mack, right now for his injury. But, you know, if you got him last year, you wanted to play him with the indie D. I'm playing a lot of Jonathan Taylor. Go ahead.
No, I want to talk about that. Like, I wanted to play the indie D so badly last week.
Yeah.
And they were 2,500, and every other like tout site, you know, whatever, nobody mentioned the Colts D. It was like everyone was talking about like the Jets and the Dolphins and up to Tampa.
Just going there, yeah.
And there was like they were 2,500, and I was like, how is this not a great spot? But right, and like you know, and they have such a good defensive line. Yeah. And so
I was just going there. Everyone's looking for the cheap D nowadays, though. That's why, Kirk. Everyone's looking for this 2K D that they can just fit.
Yeah, but they were 2,500.
Yeah,
right? And they like, were the right one. There. That's it was like saying. They should have been touted as the cash defense. They should have been.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's not. And then that's what I was talking about earlier, where everyone gets caught up too in the fact of, okay, we've got this running back that's chalk. I used this with Sanders earlier. I will definitely play Philly with Sanders this week. And that's another example where everyone gets on the chalk and how do I use it? And they're just, okay, I'll just play lots of him. And they will say, well, even with 60% Miles Sanders and he crushed, I still lost money. What happened? You didn't correlate anything up. You didn't think about other angles. You didn't tie it together. And what I was going to say, and you're on the same path, 2,500 was ridiculous, but even at 4,100, it honestly, I never really pay up for defense, but this is a spot I absolutely will. As Brett just said, if we're talking about Braxton Berrios questionable, like they have absolutely nobody. They're just going to get smashed here. It doesn't matter. Put them in your teasers, put them in whatever you want when you're betting too. But I mean, these guys are going to smash, and Jonathan Taylor should be a part of it even more than, you know, a guy like Nyheim Hines, maybe late in the game when they're way up or something, if you want to try and go there to be cute. But I'm going to be playing a lot of Jonathan Taylor this week at 7,000. Don't care about the ownership.
Yep.
Yeah, and Brashad Perriman's already been ruled out. So we're talking about Chris Hogan, expat, and Braxton Berrios. Is he an expat too? I think he's an expat. But yeah, both. I mean, Berrios is questionable. So this offense is bad.
All right, we've got let's hold off on Singletary for a second. But let's touch on two big pieces in a potential shootout. We got Zeke, right? Came through last week, although getting vultured by Dak for two touchdown scores. When one, he was actually out and they put in Andy Dalton, right? For a play. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, great. Now it's definitely going to go to Zeke.
And somehow Andy Dalton threw on that.
And they called a timeout or something. And then Dak comes back in and runs it in for the touchdown. Yep. And I was so tilted.
They threw it twice only to run it with Dak. When I was like, why didn't you just jam Zeke three times? You definitely were getting in before the third try.
Yeah.
It was and you thought you were safe with Dalton on there. And then Dak comes to save the day. But anyways, 8,300. you know, could have had a monster day, right? Like put up 23 fantasy points, but like if you, he could have had two more touchdowns easily and had just have been a monster play. And then also Chris Carson in the game, he's only 6,600, who's getting more of the passing work now. Although he did only have three target, three receptions against the Patriots, but did have six targets and receptions the week before. But that's, you know, everyone's going to be on this passing game of the Seahawks. And this, you know, basically could be the spot for Carson. But how are you guys approaching each of these two guys?
Yeah, so I initially said that I love Sanders, I love Taylor, and I love Drake. Our percent ownership at RG right now, we have Sanders at 35.2%, Jonathan Taylor at 29.9%. This is DraftKings pricing. And then Kenyon Drake at 26.9%. So all above 25 plus. We have Zeke at 19.7. I like Zeke only basically in Dallas and Seattle stacks. I don't know how many one-offs I'm going to have. Definitely – He could add four touchdowns. He could add four touchdowns last week. There's no doubt about it. The love for Zeke would be so much higher if he would add just one more touchdown. But I think you hit on the guy that I'm going to be more on is Chris Carson. We have him at 9.1%. I just feel like the Seattle offense is so much more focalized than the Dallas offense. Dallas, real. I mean, they had a backup tight end lead at the target share in week two. And then they have three wide receivers and a running back. You don't know exactly where that offense is coming from. I feel very confident in knowing where the offense is coming from in Seattle. Dude. You got the two wide receivers, Chris Carson, catching balls out of the backfield. Give me Chris Carson in a lot of different lineups. I'll definitely have him more than 9% of my lineups that I built.
Let me counterpoint one thing. Zeke is like the number one true bell cow in this league. Now, yes, they have, you know, he got vultured by Dak, right? And that's possible. But and they have that passing game, you know, with Amari Cooper, with Michael Gallup, with Lamb, right? So I get that. That's you're right there. But like, he is the one true bell cow, and they game script really played a factor too by them being down right off the bat with all those fumbles, right? And then just having to rip open the pass game, but they still lean on him. Like we're literally talking like 2-1. He got stuffed, like, I think at the goal line. And if like those two touchdowns, he's a 35 point, you know, or close to 40 point running back on the week. And everybody's like saying he's the number one play right now. And now we're catching him at with a bit of an ownership discount. And cause he's a little bit more expensive, but we've got value all over the place. So we can fit them. So I get it. But like, and then it's the same thing. It's the exact same situation on the other side with Russ and Metcalf and Lockett and, you know, David, you know, Russ can do whatever he wants. So like they can air it out too. So, I mean, I think it's, I wouldn't sleep on Zeke this week is all I'm saying.
No, I'm like, just saying, my only concern was just like how many times is going to be right when I pick the right player, right? I just feel very strong about where the ball is going in Seattle versus Dallas. Dallas, I feel like they have so many options. Whereas now I'm very strong with the two wide receiver set, zero tight end in Seattle. With a running back that's catching balls out of the backfield than I am with a Dallas that, I mean, they're using three wide, one tight end, running back, plus quarterback is rushing. I mean, you can, there's a lot of guys to choose from is all I'll say. I mean, Tambo, how do you figure that out with Carson?
A few thoughts come to mind. I mean, just real quick, but I mentioned earlier, even like the Carson could be this week's Jones where it's just the running game, but you just mentioned it now, Brett, is that he can get off with Wilson in the same lineup. Like he's getting all these targets and whatnot too. So, but to Kirkwood's point, and this, I mean, we talked about a lot of chalk. I know we kind of got it just as how we use it, how we be different within these big field tournaments. But, you know, talk all you want about what Russ is going to cook up or what meal he's going to put on the table. There's one guy in this league that likes to eat, and his name's Ezekiel Elliott. So we might see him coming back the other way. And that works, by the way, where you can just roll out him and have Zeke on the other side. And like you said, Zeke could be a discount ownership. At the top of the show, Brett mentioned no 10K guys this week. Okay. 8,300 for Zeke could be another one, and you can't play them all. You just talked about Taylor, Sanders, Drake, and I agree, but you can't fit them all. So Zeke's one there. And then another guy I was going to mention right quick is Derrick Henry. Everyone wanted to play him last week. Doesn't look like anyone wants to play him this week. So, you know, I'll always go back to a guy like that. I know it's not December. We don't got the snow tires on, whatever you want to say, but I think, man, he can still go off in a matchup here against Minnesota and have himself a good game at 7,800 at almost no ownership up near this top range, stuck in the middle between Zeke and Taylor. So I do like him a little bit as well.
I just feel so dumb playing this guy so heavily last week, and he doesn't catch passes really, you know, and like they just try their hardest not to utilize him in the passing game. And it's like, then I feel dumb. Like, you don't use Derrick Henry until it's cold, until the halfway through the season, and it's and he's wearing them down. I mean, these are all like fish cliches, right? But like, I feel them. That's how I feel. So yeah. Man, it's going to be tough for me to play him. I guess I'm going to have to play him.
Welcome to the NFL, where you only get 17 weeks and like the pain lasts for 7 days, right?
But look at, you know, Taylor played them last week. Taylor, you know, Henry, Taylor had two targets, but he had, you know, 26 attempts. Look at Henry's attempts. He gets all kinds of attempts. Taylor had 100 or 26 one-on-one in the TD. That pays off, and it could be more, right? We don't know, but I'm just saying that's a spot, and Tennessee's a pretty good team. That's a good play.
Just to put a little stop on your love there, Darian Ton Evans is back in rotation there for the Titans. So I do expect him to work in on third downs, maybe relieve Derrick Henry a few spots, few snaps, I should say. But yeah, that's probably why I'm leaning away from him this week. But yeah, I'm not going to go there. I've heard of whispers or people going back to the well, and I'm not on that. It just doesn't seem like a high snap. But I mean, if you look at Vegas, there's no game that's popping off like that game. I mean, it opened up at 45.5 and it's up to 49.5. That's making me eye up a lot of plays in this game, but I feel like I've been leaning towards Minnesota more than anything. And then the Tennessee pass game. So what do you think, Kirkwood? Like, where is there like something there?
No, I'm just bitter. I'm just bitter from last week. So that probably means he's a good play. But like, I'm not worried about what you're worried about, Brett. I mean, Henry's a true bell cow. He's a workhorse, and the dudes, they're going to feed him
on a site like DraftKings, we've always worried about his pass catching ability.
That's what I said. That's why it's like, I just felt stupid for playing someone so heavily when he's really not involved much in the passing game. And that's all.
He has no TDs yet, by the way.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like he
gets, wake up here.
Yeah, exactly. And then we're missing out. So I get it. Dalvin Cook certainly in play too, right there for that same price. But the guy I want to touch on is Devin Singletary. I mean, Moss is out. Singletary was certainly capable of carrying like the load and looked awesome towards the end of last season, had some big games last season. So, you know, now they're playing the Rams. It's not the easiest matchup, but they certainly give up production. He's just cheap. He's 4,900. He's also included in the passing game. The one scary thing, the negative, is that the reason why we love Josh Allen so much, the reason why I love Josh Allen so much, is that he's the goal line back, right? Like this guy loves running the ball into the end zone. And so that's, you know, variance could hit that in a big way with Singletary, you know, popping in the end zone or vice versa. So, but he's 4,900. He's involved in the passing game. Also the, Jalen Ramsey, should be, shadowing Stephon Diggs, or at least, you know, some Diggs, some, Brown. So, you know, we maybe put a damper on some of this passing game, and, Singletary makes a lot of sense. So I'm definitely going to, you know, be looking to jam him in some spots. What about you guys?
Yeah. I mean, Kirkwood, like, I don't know, when it comes to like DFS or like investing or whatever, like I always hate being late to the party, and I feel like I'm late to the party with the Buffalo Bills. Like
I thought a DraftKings promo was coming. You were going to, I always hate being late to the party. Now let me tell you about
No, this is like a, I mean, this Bills offense, man. Could you have a better set of wide receivers set up around Josh Allen that's willing to take chances, very sporadic? I mean, Stephon Diggs is a hell of a route runner. He had a tough cornerback on him last week, and he burned that kid multiple times. So, I don't know. Like, it just – this Bills offense, I mean, we're obviously talking about running backs. I like Singletary. I don't know how much I'm going to have. I feel like underneath 5K running backs, you're going to have to decide with Singletary, the San Francisco running backs, and then the New England Patriot running backs. Right now, I'm siding towards little bit of San Fran and New England right now. So
you want the New England rushing attack?
Yeah. So James White's been ruled out. He hasn't
You know who the New England rushing attack is?
Yeah. So
it's their quarterback.
That's true. So now that we're
Cam Newton, yeah. That's
the thing. Yeah, I should say now that we're down from a four-headed running situation in New England, we're down to three, right? But looks like James White is he's already been ruled out. So, but you have Burkhead and Sony Michel. So I'm hoping like you can lean one way here for me. But I've been like mixing in both Burkhead and Michel in lineups. Definitely a great spot versus the Raiders, but you're right. Cam Newton's rushing capabilities, I mean, first 2 weeks have been ridiculously high. I think last week it was a situation where they needed him to run versus Seattle. This week, I don't know how much they really need him to run. Maybe he can stay more in the pocket, do normal handoffs here. I feel pretty good about these Patriot running backs getting off. Tambo, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm on one thing you said. I'm in between you guys, though. I'm on Jerick McKinnon. I'll take a stand with that San Francisco running back. I know Jeff Wilson's there. I know there's some talk around inside the five and whatever, but McKinnon already, like, I don't understand. He's already going to be like one third the ownership of Singletary. It looks like just because the obvious, he's, you know, Moss marked out. So that just makes everyone go to Singletary there. And I get it, but I'm afraid of Josh Allen. I'm going to play him when we segue to quarterback. And I like that passing game still, you know, that I'm late to the party, but I'm not feeling like I'm too late, at least get a couple drinks at the end of the night. So you know, before the bar closes, I'll get in on that. But the other one is, you know, you just talked about it. Cam Newton's the guy, but you know who's not probably the guy is Mullins. So I'm going to roll with McKinnon. They like using him. He's already got 13 DK points in both of the first two games with just three attempts and a few targets average. Now he's got a spot where they want to use him. We know that they love this guy. They paid him in the, you know, he got that tough injury that happened originally. And then obviously Raheem Mostert just came in and dominated, but now he's finally getting a chance to bounce back, and it's looking like pretty low ownership versus Singletary right now. So I'm just planting a flag there. That's the guy I like. And when we get back to quarterback in the passing game, I really like the Giants this week as like a sneaky upside stack. And you can use McKinnon on the opposite side of that. No problem. And he fits both, you know, game script, pretty much game script independent, where you can, you know, rush it in and cause them to need to come back with the pass game, or they can get down against that pass game. And then it's all him the other way, catching passes and taking him to the house. So I like McKinnon.
I like that call, because I mean, people don't realize Daniel Jones has got legs, and he's going to have to use those legs more with Saquon out of the lineup. So
yeah,
so I'm torn on with McKinnon. You nailed it because of the Jeff Wilson. I expect him to get the goal line work and some touches. They love feeding that guy goal line ultra touches anyway. But like McKinnon is certainly the most explosive. Is definitely going to have a big role, and we know. What Shanahan's scheme does for running backs, right? Like all these guys just smash. So I'm going to play one or the other in lineups. And, but I'll definitely have some McKinnon too as well. And I'm just going to touch on my last point with, you know, so you got like, if you're debating all these guys, it's like Devin Singletary is the guy. Then you've got San Francisco, you've got Wilson and McKinnon, right? And then you got in New England, you got Burkhead and Sony Michel. And you know, like Sony Michel is not going to be involved in the passing game. And you also have Cam Newton, who now has six carries inside the 5 yard line. And, you know, loves to go into the end zone. Josh Allen now is very similar and the same thing, but at least you have the one running back in Buffalo, and you also, this is a running back who works well in the passing game. So that's my only like
That makes sense.
That positive, why I'm so high on Singletary this week.
Do I have bad stats? I'll have to cut you off, but did Jeff Wilson ever score a rushing touchdown?
Yeah, he's had some big games. He's actually had some really big touchdowns.
He vultured a bunch of rushing touchdowns last season.
So he wasn't activated a lot last year, but the games that he was the guy that touched the ball only inside like the 10-yard line.
But do you have a rushing touchdown for him in the year 2019? I don't.
Against Arizona. That's one that I just pulled up quickly. Week 11.
So I got
that was a receiving touchdown. That was one receiving touchdown.
All right, you're right. That's receiving.
He has zero rushes. All this talk about in the five, he's got nothing.
No, I got back-to-back two touchdown games in 2019. So it was in September. It was against Cincinnati. He had 10 for 34 and two touchdowns, and then
week
against
two.
Pittsburgh. 8 for 18.
Yes.
And two
week
touchdowns.
Three.
And then the rest of the year, I guess you're right. Sorry, I shouldn't have said it as 2019. I was saying like when in the recent history, and we've already got McKinnon been full use going out. So I don't have as much worry as you guys do there. And if Wilson eats me up, you guys can at me. But I think that McKinnon is the clear spot there. And I think we've already seen Allen steal touchdowns from everybody. So I don't think Singletary is as clear as everybody thinks.
No, I mean, if we're going to compare the San Fran and New England Patriot backfield, I feel like Sony Michel and Jeff Wilson are very similar where, they're going to be your first down, second down guys. Possibly.
Similar, but like you can count on more touches for Sony Michel.
Yeah. I'd probably go there too. But like, I mean, I still feel Jeff Wilson is going to be a guy that you're going to see on first down, second down quite a bit. Burkhead and McKinnon going to be playing a lot of the third down catching roles anytime that they are in pass situations. Feel pretty strong. I think that was a good way to break it down though, Kirkwood. Buffalo, just not a lot of competition for Singletary's touches.
All right, let me get into my last guy that I love. Love him. James Conner. So let's set up the what happened, right? So he got injured the first week, which we thought got injured, but it turns out it looked like he was throwing a temper tantrum on the field and yelling at someone, and it looks like he got benched.
I'll go with temper tantrum.
Because he then practiced in full the next week and like became all of a sudden he's not on the injury report. And everyone's like, what's going on? And comes out hot last week, looked really good. And it looks like a bell cow running back again. Benny Snell fumbles, right? Connor goes off for 106 yards, gets a touchdown, had that explosive 59 yard run towards the end that iced the game. Steelers get all pro right guard back this week. Forgot his name, but he's supposed to be a big deal, so I'll take their word for it on that. And so they're basically their line is getting healthier, right? And this guy looks like the guy. Snell fumbled, looks to be out of favor. Like, this is Connor's backfield. We all knew it. And like the offseason just had like that one game, like first game where it looked like it was an injury, and there was an injury there, but I also think it was more, he was benched. It wasn't a serious injury. Anyways, now gets the, a matchup against Houston, who, ranks 24th so far in DVOA versus the rush. Always allowed rushing yards. You know, they just have never been very good against it. Granted, they have played the Chiefs and Ravens this year, but they, did allow 160 yards each to each of these teams. Now, these are elite offenses, so I'm not going to say, like, that's, like, the end-all be-all. But, like, basically, to me, Connor checks every box. People are a little bit down on, like, he's not going to be the most highly owned.
5.1% on RG.
I bet he'll get more ownership than that. But, I expect him to be maybe 15 tops, maybe 10%, somewhere in that range. But, like, definitely in a tier below all these other guys. They're at home, right? They're home favorites, which we always like for running backs. The matchup is good. Like, it's just – and they get the – and their offense line gets healthier. So it's like every single box got checked for me in this play. And, like, it's just the fact that he's going to be a little bit under-owned. And, like, this is a guy that, like, we were jamming in. Like, you had to jam in at, like, 9K. in the past. And he looked explosive to me last week. So what are you guys thinking?
Yeah, the offensive lineman you're talking about is David DeCastro.
Yeah, that's it.
This will be his first week. So, yeah, I mean, that's something that you kind of just brought up that I kind of researched while you were talking. I mean, I liked him on DraftKings. He's going to be, I think, very low owned due to his price of 6,700, right? I mean, you look at the running backs around there, 6,400, 6K. I think there's a chance that you do get him. I mean, single
great pivot. Here. Like it's such an easy pivot to me.
And this is a spot that they can control the offense line versus D line here. I mean, Houston's D line outside of JJ Watt. I mean, JJ Watt mainly is their only pressure guy. Yeah, this could be a really good, spot for Pittsburgh dominating defense just for Connor to get 20 plus touches. I like it at if the ownership does stick like below 7%. On sites like FanDuel, he's like even better priced comparatively. On Yahoo, he's even $17 if you play a site like Yahoo. And I think that's just dirt cheap. So I'm going to probably have a little bit more ownership on a site like FanDuel and Yahoo. But yeah, I'm right there with you with just the optimism there. Tambo, what do you think?
Same thoughts, Kirkwood brought it up. He was one other guy I had tagged. It was the same reason. CEH under the lights, Thursday Night Football dominated them. And then my Ravens last week, over 200 rush yards, including Lamar on the ground against Houston. And I think he's back. I think Connor was just that sort of that blip and now he's back. So why not? Now the O-lineman coming back, like you mentioned, little extras like that at home. It just all sets up well for him. And I don't think he's going to be popular. And I don't even know if you have to pivot. You could just play him with like Sanders and Taylor in a lineup and you still have super cheap, you know, that's only 67, 64 and seven, as far as the cost goes for thousand or, you know, for 100,000 or for thousand. So, I mean, that's for me, three running backs, you could just plug in and forget these cheap guys. And you're still got plenty of money to spend on stacks and whatnot.
Yep. Any guys have any favorite, like the cheapy plays, like, or like the Mike Davis, the injury plays, any injury for you guys? I mean, like Mike Davis had got eight targets and eight receptions, you know, mm-hmm. against in a tough matchup against Tampa Bay, once McCaffrey went down. So, like, should we be jamming this guy in?
I feel like the sites did a really good job of pricing these guys up, their early injuries at least. I mean, Mike Davis on DraftKings, 5,100. When we're talking about Devin Singletary at 4,900, even like the Patriots guys, the 49ers guys.
Yeah, but what's the negative on Mike Davis besides the talent? But like,
yeah, you know, they're going to be most likely in passing situations, right? I mean, we saw him last week in that spot. I don't know. Like, I've kind of liked Mike Davis even in the Seattle offense when he got opportunity there. It's just – it's mainly a price discrepancy for me. Weird
but spot. You're getting McCaffrey for 5,100. No? Tambo?
Come on now.
No, I mean, I don't think so. I've actually got the other side of that game. If you want to talk about I know we talked to a running back forever here, but the last play I had as a cheap play was the other side of that in Josh Kelly for the Chargers.
We saw guys walk
all over Carolina. You know, we liked – Jones, we saw Josh Jacobs. We, you know, these guys just smashed him. Jones obviously didn't get there, but I'm just saying, if I'm going to go down there, the pricing is nowadays with the 4K floor, it just is what it is. You got to kind of realize that in your head and build your lineups accordingly. But I definitely like Josh Kelly down there instead of going to Mike Davis. That's just me.
Yeah, and I had him queued up until I saw Justin Jackson was practicing this week. So I don't exactly know what the three-headed monster split will be this week. So probably off on that situation, but I mean, his week two totals just of his touches in targets. I mean, against one of the best defenses that you can see as a running back. I mean, you got to like that.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear he's taken over the Melvin Gordon role. Everyone's saying that as well. And you know, he's coming in with the sixth most carries right now in the NFL.
And it was updated today too. Jackson's doubtful for the game. That's what I was in on that. So Jackson's not likely to play. So it's just Eckler and him.
Yep, I just leave that too now.
Yeah, so I love that play. I'm there with you guys on that one. And then the last one, like, no one's going to talk about is, like, Antonio Gibson. You know, his price has come up a little bit, but, like, the role keeps increasing every single week. And he's going to break a big – like, this kid's talented. He's going to break a big one. This offense is going to start, you know, performing better than they have. And he's going to be so – no one's going to – he's going to be totally overlooked. So, like, for, like, dart throws, that's somebody I could get behind.
Yep, and I was looking at him only specifically in team stacks, which, you know, I was actually surprised how favored Cleveland is in that. They're a 7.5-point favorite versus Washington, which I obviously like Washington covering that because Cleveland has not looked good. But, yeah, only in team stacks for me.
All right, so we speed up the show. We'll let's try to do quarterback quickly. Quarterback, Kyler Murray is going to be the chalk, mega chalk, for good reason. We've already touched on it a million times. You know, he's on pace to surpass what Lamar Jackson did in the rushing game last season. Two rushing touchdowns last week. I mean, this kid is just electric. They're playing at a fast pace. And this game is a monster total, and it's a great matchup. So it's hard to not like him. You know, I get it. He pairs so easily with DeAndre Hopkins. It just seems like it's too easy. The other guy that I'm super interested in is Cam Newton. I said, you know, it's I like my quarterbacks with rushing upside. Cam fits that bill. I already mentioned he had 6 carries inside the 5, 15 rushing attempts in week 1, followed by 11 last week. I'm a New England homer. He's surpassed my expectations and just – you know, he looks awesome, and he's chucking it. He 379 yards passing last week, which was just freaking amazing against Seattle. And now gets the Raiders, that it's not a scary matchup, you know, at all. And it's, you want concentrated passing attack. It's pretty concentrated in New England. It's Edelman, who's now on like air yards, top 10 lists, right? For like, and you know, going deep down the field, which is something that we're never used to with Edelman. It's usually he's the slot, you know, picking, you know, pick him with the short passes guy. But like, it's different now. And N'Keal Harry is definitely his guy, targeted 18 times, hasn't found the end zone yet, but, you know, should have that one game that he fumbled, and is going to find the end zone. I guarantee you that. And that's his boy. The only other option is Damier Bird. And they don't have an alpha tight end anymore, right? Like, so like, this is it. This is a concentrated passing attack with a quarterback with monster rushing upside. So it's you can play him naked, but you can also play him with Edelman. You can play him with Edelman and Harry. You can play him with just Harry. It's like, and we don't have James White right now. So it's like, it's concentrated, man. Like that. So that works for me. Russell Wilson is the other guy. I mean, everyone's going to be talking about him, letting Russ cook. It's just the game environment. So, you know, obviously you have to think about, you know, stacking up Russ and Dak stacks from quarterback perspectives. I guess the lower end guys for me, Carson Wentz is interesting. He's looked terrible, but like, it's going to come. Like, he's going to have a big game. People aren't totally expecting it. Cincy is a much better matchup than anything he's had yet. Lane Johnson's back, should provide some more protection, you know, and concentrated passing attack again with their two tight ends and DeSean Jackson really being their only real reliable guy now that Rieger's out. So I like that one. Josh Allen is going to be overlooked. I like him. That's it for me. What are you guys thinking?
Yeah, I mean, kind of right there with you. I'm probably not as high on Kyler Murray this week as I was last week. Russ, I'm right there with you. My biggest bounce back this week will be Carson Wentz. Feel like they're getting healthier on the offensive line, and I'm just going to put down that, you know, they have a bounce back week. So definitely like stacks in that Philly-Cincy game. So the reason why I'm rolling with Carson Wentz in that situation. Don't even hate, like, I know we talked a lot about San Fran last week, but Nick Mullins in a spot where he's only 5,100. I mean, this is obviously more of a deep throw, but like guys that I'll have like less than 10%, like, you know, 5%, like Nick Mullins, Joe Burrow, Trubisky. Those are my gamble spots. Justin Herbert. I like those guys to put up. And they all, I mean, Burrow, Trubisky, Herbert, they all can run. Mullins, not so much. But I still like San Fran to be able to move this offense versus Giants D. So that's kind of my cheap areas. And then, yeah, I'm hitting up the Murray, the Wilsons. Cam Newton, not as much as you. I'm having issues with just correlating him. I know Tambo loved Demir Byrd in week one and definitely hit on Demir Byrd in week two. So I'd like to hear if Tambo's on that Demir Byrd in week three. But I just don't know who to correlate Cam Newton with. I've been running.
I just told you.
Edelman, you trading the deep shots?
There's two options. It's Edelman and Demir Byrd would be the third, but if you wanted to. But it's Demir. I mean, it's Edelman and it's N'Keal Harry. It's so clear. It's just one's in the air yard king who just had his, I think, career high in receiving yards in Edelman. And then Harry's got 18 targets, just hasn't found the end zone, but that's
coming. And I think, like, the Raiders being on a short week, that's kind of why I was heavy on the run game for the Patriots. And you're right. I mean, Cam Newton could take these runs and make those running backs, like, just terrible. But
I mean, I'm never going down with Sony Michel. It's just the way it is. It's like,
you got to have 5%.
That's not the hill I want to die on. And I left a quarterback that I like for Tambo. I didn't want to steal his thunder because I know he's gonna say it right now, that who we didn't mention.
Which one is it, though? Because I got a couple.
Other side of Arizona.
Yeah, Stafford is the guy. I'm there with you. I'm going to do a six-pack, I guess. I thought about what you guys were talking just to speed it up and hit on, you know, not all the same points. You know, as far as the top goes, I actually like Dak. I like that he's $100 less than Russ. I think that's an interesting way to go about it. Like I said, if you're not even, but you can use him with Zeke. We just talked about how many targets, you know, we talked about let Russ cook. You've been seeing Zeke get targets and he's been cooking around. So, you know, had a terrible game last game, getting vultured all those times that we already talked about, but you can fit him in. So I like Dak. I like Josh Allen. Like I said, I don't think I'm too late to the party. I'll go there. I like your Cam Newton call. One thing that's interesting about Cam Newton, one is the Demir Byrd. I think people automatically go Edelman, Harry, because like you said, it's a pretty tight target tree, but I treat Cam like a running back. So I don't mind using him with a 3K receiver who just got 9 targets last week, finally hitting on his boy, Demir Byrd, came through for him, 6 for 72. That's a pretty good line for $3,000 straight this week, min price, still minimum. But the other thing is too, you talked about just a second ago, Brett, these guys, you know, coming off Las Vegas, coming off this, the short week or whatever, these guys coming in, I like the defense in New England. We're not going to, you know, go into all that later on. I like using Cam with the defense and even using a guy like Byrd who's cheap. You're getting enough pieces from that game, but you could still see it happen. And what if Cam runs in 2-3 touchdowns again? So I think that's an interesting angle you could take there. There is some guys, like I said, if Waller plays, I'll get more interested in some stacks there just because I do like Cam that much. Those are the three at the top. Three at the bottom, you mentioned it, Stafford, just an easy, obvious way to get on the opposite side of a game that's going to go off. And if Kyler has a big game, we talk about all the time, QB1 versus QB1, that's the best correlation that we just don't get to play in standard classic. So I will definitely use Stafford. You mentioned Trubisky. He's okay, but, you know, not in my pack there. Wentz is the other one I like, because, and on the opposite side of that game, Burrow. I think Burrow is really interesting. I don't think he's going to throw it 61 times this week like he did last week, but he can rush. He can throw. He's accurate. You know, we can talk about wide receiver we're going to get into in a second. AJ Green, Boyd, Drew Sample's cheap. There's a lot of ways to stack that game up. And then you've got Sanders, who's popular, who I hit on earlier, that you can run on the opposite side of the Burrow stacks. So I'm really interested in that game for some upside as well.
Nice. Any of the cheap injury plays? I mean, I like Trubisky. Brett touched on him too. I mean, I definitely like Trubisky. Like, it's just, you know, you don't know what you're going to get with him, but like the against the Falcons for sure. Like, I mean, he could absolutely go off.
But I like Daniel Jones for a little bit more money than those guys. I know that the injury plays, but for 5,500, I mean, Jared Goff's there if you want. Trubisky, I talked about. Wentz only 5,800. I mean, this is insane. But yeah, I like Daniel Jones more than those $5,100 guys You know, 5,500 for him is a fair price in a game that I think he's going to have to toss a lot. And like Brett mentioned earlier, he can get his wheels going and get on the run, even run a couple touchdowns in himself with no Barkley there. So,
yeah, we talk about quarterbacks with decent rushing floors. This is a guy that I think, you know, with the Giants offensive situation, we're going to start seeing him run more. I expect him. I mean, he's got 7 carries first 2 weeks. So 4 attempts, 3 attempts. I mean, I can see him like throwing in a good 4 to 5, 6, you know, no Saquon back there. Just trying to carry the team up field. So they're going to need his legs for sure to, you know, carry on drives here. So I'm right there with you on him. So
I had 2 tournament lineups last week. One was Kyler Hopkins McLaurin. The other one was Jared Goff with Higbee and
got that 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I can't remember. And I was feeling really good until my other line, the Kyler lineup, just buried that other one. But I like Goff again. I just want to touch on that with my last guy, because, you know, we just saw that Buffalo shootout with Miami. This is a different defense without Edwards and Milano. And that's a huge, you know, those linebackers are a huge boost for Higbee in the passing game again, who's coming off of a 3 touchdown game. He's priced up a little bit and people aren't going to want to play him against this Bills, you know, really tough defense. But this is another good spot, and no one's going to look at him for 5,900. And you can do it easily because Goff is cheap and Goff is capable of lighting it up in the passing game. So I'm just going to throw that last one out there.
I'll bring this up. Like, I don't rely on home road splits too much this year anymore, just because of no fans. Jared Goff was one of those guys that was a huge detriment on the road. Him, Ben Roethlisberger, guys that have always played really terrible on the road. Now we have no fans, good communication, you know, great, at least in the Rams case, a great head coach, calm plays. I mean, this could be a spot where you're getting Goff for 5,600 based upon years prior, you know, where.
And Robert Woods is going to be eaten up with Tre'Davious White, and that's going to leave Cooper Kupp and Higbee over the middle, where they're vulnerable with the loss of Edwards and Milano. So don't sleep on that stack, people. All right, let's talk it over to a wide receiver here. I'll start off just mentioning that obviously we know DeAndre Hopkins is going to be massive chalk. I still don't think he fails. Like, I just don't. I know I probably should have like a high probability because he's a wide receiver and there's a lot of variance involved, but I just don't think he fails unless he gets injured. He's the obvious pairing. 25 targets in the first 2 games so far. This week, no Christian Kirk. Lions secondary that's in shambles. They got rid of Darius Slay. You know, they lost him. That Justin Coleman, their slot corner, is down, injury. Now Desmond Trufant, another corner, is missed last week with a hamstring injury and looking dicey to play this week. And if they do roll him out there, you want to attack the guy with the hammy. So basically they got this one guy, Amani Oruwari, I think is how you pronounce his name.
That's solid.
He's a second year guy. Just ranks poor in all the metrics that you look up, and yardage allowed, burned for plenty of touchdowns. You know, we know the pace. So I just don't see Hopkins failing. So I'm all aboard this chalk. I like him. My next favorite play, and then I'll bring it to you guys, is how to attack this Detroit game. Well, everyone's going to be rushing to play Golladay back because it's going to pop in projection models. He's going to be like just jammed in in lineups on the bring back. But like, who's the one guy that's got had a 4 touchdown game last year? It's in a big deep threat. It's Marvin Jones, right? Who's going to be shadowed by Patrick Patterson? It's going to be Golladay. Golladay's also coming off of a hamstring injury. That's not something I like to mess around with. It's also going to now alleviate a lot of the pressure that, you know, Marvin Jones has been under this last week. So my take is like, this should really open up as like a Marvin Jones week when everybody is on Golladay. Like, I think Golladay back just helps Marvin Jones. So that's my guy. And I'll be interested to hear how you guys think it. And then the last, it's DK Metcalf, obviously. The athletic freak pairs so well with Russ. Highest scoring receiver thus far for the Seahawks, even after a matchup with Gilmore last week, burned him for a 54-yard touchdown, which is pretty much all I needed to see, because that's something that gets my attention, because Gilmore is so nasty. Basically, right, everyone's saying, let Russ cook. If Russ is going to cook, then a receiver is going to cook, right? And the Seattle receiver that leads the team in air yards, 48% share, is Metcalf. He also leads them in touchdowns with two. Also is the highest ADOT. He's their deep guy. And this is after a week with Gilmore, right? And yeah. So I'm expecting a massive game here against this injury-riddled Cowboys secondary. So those are my flags. Who are your guys?
Yeah, I'll pivot to Golladay that you were talking about. I'm kind of right there with you. He had quotes out there. He goes, definitely feeling a lot better. Wouldn't say it's 100%. I really won't even put a percentage on it. I just know I'm not 100%. I'm going to do everything I can, and hopefully I showed enough in practice this week and I can be out there. So what that's telling me is he's probably not going to see full snaps. But when he's out there, all I care is him stretching the field, safeties, corners have to respect that. And then you got the Marvin Jones and TJ Hockenson. So I think I'm going to be running it back with those two way more than Golladay, just based upon kind of his speak alone. And then, I agree. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, it seems like a can't miss spot here. No Christian Kirk.
I mean, I guess he could miss if Drake steals it, or and Kyler sure. steals it. It's like, so I guess it could, but like,
yep. And then that's the way to roll too, is have lineups where you're just going Kirk and fade in that situation, you know? I'll throw it over to Tambo. What do you got with like the top tier wide receivers?
I made the mistake last week with Adams, and I feel like we're just going down that path again with Hopkins. It's not that he's not going to have a great game. I'm not talking about the injury. I'm not worried about them. I'm not trying to go out here and predict injuries. It's that like the 20 to 30 points is there, but like doesn't, you know, Stephon Diggs bust out and get that same game or something at way less. He had 32 last week himself. You know what I mean? Like, doesn't something like that happen more often than not? So when you see like 30% Hopkins, and there's so many ways we've already talked about building around it, there's just a lot of guys you can go down to. Like, going down the list, I see, you know, Diggs, who you mentioned, Ridley, no one's going to pay up for him. I think that's an interesting spot we haven't spent a lot of time on. Some of the guys I like, though, down here, you know, Allen Robinson, 6,200.
Love him.
I think that's a really good price and a really good spot. We know Atlanta, so that goes with the Trubisky conversation a little bit earlier. Another one seems really cheap, and this kind of goes with the Mike Davis conversation that we had earlier. Like, Mike Davis is what, 5,100, $1,000 more, you can get DJ Moore. And I know it's a running back versus a wide receiver, but that seems extremely low. No CMC. I get it. You know, it's Bridgewater, whatever, but not, you know, 6,100 for DJ Moore. That is cheap. Terry McLaurin dropping down again. Same thing. You know, he's a good play. I think he's going to get the ownership based on last week, but the price didn't really change. So why not? And then I want to talk about my Cincy guys for a second. Like I said, I'm going to play Burrow. Green and Boyd are both right there. I think that's unique. Even if you play just one of them, you're unique. But I don't think A.J. Green's going to get 13 targets again and come up with, what, two or three balls. You know, they definitely were getting after him. So I definitely could see that be something this week. And then, you know, I mentioned this a little bit earlier. I like Dak over Wilson. If you got the $100 and you're running game stacks, you could just siphon between, you know, the two quarterbacks at 72 and 7,300 in these game stacks. But I do like CeeDee Lamb. I think it's a spot where he's going to get some ownership, of course, but, you know, the price did go up. 9 targets, 100 yards, 106 yards last week. Some of it was in garbage time after the onside kick, but just the fact to trust him, put him in that spot, you know, we can go on and on, but I think that's another guy you could use in that game with people on Cooper, Gallup, all the guys on Seattle side, and just get, you know, a little bit different there with the, you know, a guy at 5,400 when most people are paying up or paying down. And then last one I'll give you, and I'll flip back to you, Kirk, is Darius Slayton. talked about Daniel Jones. You got now $4,900 Slayton. No, what is it? Shepard? No Shepard. So you got Tate there, and you got Ingram, but you got no Shepard and no Barkley.
No Saquon, and that. So it's so easy. It's Ingram and it's Slayton.
I like that one.
Love them both. So I wrote, and I'm going to round this out. I wrote, I'm going to just piggyback on a couple of your plays, because I wrote down three other guys that I liked, right? And one of them was 5,900 Terry McLaurin, 22nd priced wide receiver on DraftKings, right? Should not be. Should definitely be higher. And I don't think he's going to be that chalky. I don't know what you guys have him on.
No, I agree.
I played him last week. That was my bring back and my main tournament lineup. And I loved him, and he didn't move in price. And so I love him again. The other one I had written down was Allen Robinson, 9 targets per game, 7th in air yards, gets the Falcons. Like, yes, please. You know, he's the true alpha on this team. And you just have to hope that the Bears can put up points, and then Trubisky plays somewhat well in this game, which is a big if. But like, if that happens, Allen Robinson's going to be the guy. He's going to see Isaiah Oliver and AJ Terrell, those are guys you want to target. Sean Jackson was another one, 5,200. No Rieger again. Wentz is gonna to Deshaun Jackson is gonna happen. Maybe this week, probably this week. I don't know, but like, I want to be there when it does, especially when people don't want to be on him anymore, because that's gonna happen. And then last but not least, Tambo said some of these guys are gonna score 30 points. You know who I say it's gonna be, and you guys are gonna puke. It's T.Y. Hilton, and I guess I like this guy of the week. But like, you get it's the Jets. I talked about this in the week one, like who's Josh Allen's coming in against the worst pass secondary in the NFL, the Jets. And the same thing is happening this week for T.Y. Hilton. And he hasn't done shit yet this year. And you know what? He's already talking about that. There's the grandma narrative. You know what? I buy it.
Tell the people about the grandma narrative.
I love all narratives, but like, I buy this narrative because I think that they're going to want to get him going. And I think that he wants to get going. And this is a matchup that if they say we want to get him going, they're going to be successful in getting him going. It's the freaking Jets who suck. So like, he's 5,600 and everybody's playing the running back, who's a good play at 7K, but like, T.Y.'s breaking one to the house this week. I guarantee it, okay? You guys can record that. It's being recorded. You can play this back to me, but I promise you that's happening. And I'll eat my hat next week on the pot. No. All right. So
it's a great way to get off of Jonathan Taylor chalk for sure. I mean, it's not going to be as high leveraged as the Green Bay Packers situation was last week, but I totally agree. Everybody's down. On T.Y., you're going to get him for low owned at 5,600 at home. We've always liked him on turf. People are thinking he's washed right now, and you have a team that doesn't want to play in the Jets, or they're very lackadaisical. Offense doesn't look good. They're all injured. So I like that leverage. I feel like outside of all the running back wide receiver leverages that we've been talking about, that might be the best one.
And no one mentioned Michael Gallup, right? Like, it's like, how do you get a little bit different in that game? Well, you play the guy who's out of favor, who we know can go off, be the guy that goes off, and that's Michael Gallup. Like,
yeah, we still have three guys that are questionable. It's Friday, 8:43 Central Time right now, but we got Julio that's still questionable, Galladay is still questionable, then Judy that's going to be, and Judy's in the 425 situation, so. Is there a Denver Bronco guy?
It's the 3K. It's the 3K special.
Yeah, KJ Hamler. Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of 3K guys to own on this slate. And, you got the two that's two high scoring games of the week at 425. And then you have this Broncos game with Judy that's questionable. So it could be a situation where
a lot of these 3K guys you speak of.
Did I say 3K guys? I'm sorry. But I mean, KJ Hamler, 3K guy. What I meant is the high projectable games at 425. I don't know what I said there.
No, I thought there were more 3K plays that I was missing. So I was interested. Just saying, please tell me. I know Damir Bird
is Damir at 3K? I mean, he's definitely in my player pool. I have him in selected right now. So, but I mean, with all these late night games, it's going to be interesting to see how the injuries go. Both Julio and Galladay are at the noon, so we'll get word 90 minutes before game time whether they're going or not. So.
All right, we're good with wide receiver. Let's finish it out with tight end. Let's start with the chalk, Darren Waller. I mean, the dude is a beast. I love the guy, I always have. But like 16 targets. When you see a tight end put wide receivers to shame from targets, you know, like you have to be interested. 16 targets, 103 yards, a touchdown, 31 fantasy points against the Saints. Who are a tough defense. Now it's the big talk is New England. Everyone's going to be talking about it that, you know, Belichick, it's no secret. He likes to shut down the one weapon in the passing game. So, and I'm kind of on board with that. So it seems like an opportunity for me to try to beat this chalk. And the way I was thinking, number one, the most obvious pivot, but he's also becoming chalky now. So, but like the most obvious pivot is Zach Ertz. I kind of like that game in general. And I still think he's the number one, even though Goddard is getting, you know, has gotten more of the targets so far. That would be one way. I think Higbee is awesome. I mentioned that already. I don't think he's going to get much ownership whatsoever. And then there's plenty of other ways to go. You guys mentioned Hockenson, certainly the matchup. Logan Thomas, 3,700, he's a tight end, top tight end one. He's a top tight end one. So, you know, 9 targets, 8 targets in the first two games. So we should consider him. I don't know. The only cheap guy, I guess maybe we should talk about Jordan Reed back now because Kittle is out. And I'm being stupid. The guy I love, who I absolutely love, is Evan Ingram. I mean, this guy is a beast. This San Francisco defense is injured everywhere, right? Like, and there's now as concentrated of a target tree as you can get. I mean, there's Golden Tate, there's Evan Ingram, and there's Darius Slayton. But, like, the guys I want are Evan Ingram and Slayton. Like, those are the big play guys to me. So, I don't think he's going to get much love whatsoever. But, like, he got 8 targets last week, 65 yards. I mean, I expect him to do much better this week. So, that's who I'm thinking. And then, obviously, you guys can bring it up. But, like, someone, Jonnu Smith is probably going to be – you know, in play again this week, but I'll tell you one guy I'm not playing, Chris Herndon. Okay. I'm not.
You're done.
He's dead to me. He's dead to me. How is it shaking out for you guys?
You know, out of all those guys that you said, you didn't say the guy that I like the most, and that's Hunter Henry. This guy, I don't know, just based upon what we saw out of Herbert, really targeted Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry in this offense. Mike Williams didn't get a lot of targets. I don't know. This is just a spot where I was like, okay, how am I going to work in any of these Chargers? And I feel very strong with Hunter Henry's role in this offense with Herbert. So I like him. I like him a lot. I'm right there with you on Ertz because I am thinking this is going to be a bounce back spot. Really like the Philly Cincinnati game in general. So having Wentz with Ertz makes a lot of sense to me. And then Jordan Reed. I mean, again, I think a lot of us got off of him because of coach speak We were expecting 15 to 20 snaps. But all of his snaps, he got 28 snaps. And just the, like, the high leverage situations, I mean, like, almost every single one of his snaps, he ran a route. So this is a spot where when he's playing, he's going downfield and he's looking to catch the ball. And that's exactly what you want. He's only 4,000 in a spot where San Fran still is without wide receivers, without playmakers, now without their two top backs against a really weak defensive team in Giants. I think you can go right back to the well here with Jordan Reed. Tambo, what do you think?
Love Henry, love Ingram. Go off the wall a little bit. Love Waller if he does come through and play, like, practice on Friday, I hope. But, you know, it doesn't really – I don't really care about the ownership as much there. I want to play him because I think he's great. I'll give you three others that I've got here marked. One is Noah Fant. We talked earlier, what's the situation if Jerry Judy's out? Backup, quarterback, tight end. Like, that's the combo, right? They just love using that. So you saw it with the other guy I'm about to mention here in a second is Drew Sample. It's not a backup quarterback. It's Joe Burrow. But just these – quarterbacks that come in that are getting fresh and sort of getting into it, they like their tight end, right? So, and he was already liking CJ Uzoma. Maybe it's just a tight end thing for Burrow, but Drew Sample, 3,500. Noah Fant, 5,400. Probably doesn't get much ownership, though. And if Judy's out, I think he's a great play. They should be down in that game. So, I think a lot of pass attempts will go there. I talked about the guys that I love, and I had one more. Oh, yeah, Dan Arnold with no Chris Kirk. 2,800 against Detroit. The other side, another piece in that game that you can use that's just extremely random, but he's going to be a guy that could get a red zone look or anything. It doesn't take much at 2,800. Three catches for 25.
They insist on going to him. Like, he was pissing me off last week on some of his targets that they, like, he kind of forced into him. So
He's got six targets in the first two games before injuries and whatnot with 47 yards downfield. So, I mean, like, this is – it's not like you're saying, oh, who cares? I mean, $2,800, so that's why. That's the only reason I'm bringing him up. And you want to get different with your Kyler stacks, there's a way to do it.
Yep.
I'm also seeing Jack Doyle not being in some of player pools right now. He is going to play this week. He out-snapped Mole Alie-Cox 2-1, routes 72% to 48% in week one. So you might get Jack Doyle for super low ownership. DraftKings, he's 3,900, makes for a very reasonable play. Obviously, we know the situation with the Colts versus the Jets. Going to be plenty of red zone opportunity for Doyle for a touchdown.
I like that.
I'll piggyback on you, Tambo. I feel stupid for not even thinking Noah Fant. Like, this guy's a legit beast. Now there's less – you know, he has to be the focal point of the offense, right? And Driscoll loves to pass. Like, he takes his shots. Like, he may not be very good, but he's like, he's going to sling it and throw it out, leave it all out there. And Fant just seems so obvious now that I think about it. And, like, I don't see him really high in the owner. Like, he's getting minuscule ownership because of his price, I'm sure. I'm going to write him down.
Imagine having Fant and Hockenson in college together, like having those two beasts like on each side, you know, running two tight end sets. It's ridiculous.
All right. We still managed to go over an hour and a half, even though we never want to. So for everyone listening out there, listen on 2X. What speed do you think is optimal for our pod?
I think with me, and I don't know about you guys, but you got to put me 1.5 or less. Otherwise, you're going to be dominated on that.
Yeah, Tambo can talk, man. I feel like when I even hear myself on 1.5, I'm like, okay, I need to start slowing down a little bit.
I cringe to even listen to myself, so I don't do it. Like, never. But all right, favorite stack to win all the money this week. Put you guys on the spot. What is it?
All right. So I'll go kind of lower ownership here. I'll go with Carson Wentz to Ertz and Miles Sanders, and then bring it back with AJ Green, which everybody thinks AJ Green's dust right now. Should get that for very low own, less than 1% with that group stacking. So I like that for sure.
Tambo.
I'll give you two quick ones because I was going to say the other side of that. I'm definitely on Burrow, so you can put up with Boyd AJ Green, you could run it back with Sanders, who's chalky, and get different that way, or use Deshaun, or even put the whole five of them together. I will in some. And then the other one's Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, Slayton, and Ingram. That's the stack. Bring back whoever you want. It's San Francisco. I like McKinnon, I talked about, but there's other guys if you want to mess around there. But I really like those two for a Millie Maker or something like that.
I'm going to give you a real off-the-wall one. Yes. It's my favorite stack. It's Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins, and then we run it back with Marvin Jones.
So off the wall.
Yeah, I know. It's
getting
not
crazy
off the wall.
Over there.
It's as chalk as it can get except for Marvin Jones. That's the way to get it. That's my chalk one. Then my non-chalk one is going to be Trubisky to Allen Robinson. Bring it back with Calvin Ridley. It just seems so easy. If Trubisky shows up, I mean, you're in Atlanta, in the dome, secondary that they can just shred, any that competent quarterbacks can shred. So we're asking a lot, but like, please, one time show up, Trubisky, and feed your alpha dog who's been complaining and wants his contract and all of that, the squeaky wheel narrative and all that. So feed him this week because you can. And that's what I'm going with. And then I can't overlook, Cam, just play Cam, figure out your favorite way that we touched on to play Cam, because that's my New England homer pick for you. But all right, it's been another week. Week three is done. We will be back again for week four. This is the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast. Thank you.